The eighth chapter, the book of Acts. We're going to go down to that chapter and start with verse number 26. Acts 8, 26. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise, go toward the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning, sitting in his chariot, reading Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near, join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, Understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, How can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so openeth he not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh this, the prophet this? Of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, Here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still. And they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were coming up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord called away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all cities till he came to Caesarea. The scripture says, Amen, in the first verse, Saul, if you back up to the first verse, amen, or first part of the chapter, you would find that it was a great time of persecution. Now, verse 3 says, Paul, then known as Saul, made havoc of the church. The scripture says in verse number 1, Saul was consenting unto his death. Amen. Here we're talking about the death of Stephen, amen, in the previous chapter. Otherwise, he approved of the barbarous action, amen. He took the care of the clothes of the witnesses that stoned him, amen. But the word consented here signifies not a bare consent only, but a consent that had pleasure and delight in it. He was well pleased with it. Amen. It rejoiced his very heart. He joined with the other Jews in it, and he had the utmost pleasure and satisfaction. Amen. This is what it said before. It said concerning his having the clothes of the witnesses laid at his feet, as well as what followed about he got so stirred up. Amen. Over the death of Stephen, amen, that he went about turning up the heat on persecuting the saints. Otherwise, he became a violent persecutor. Amen. We know he was converted. Amen. And became a tremendous preacher of the gospel. Amen. But this shows what happens, and the power of God, amen, is turned loose on an individual's life to turn them around, amen, a complete turnaround in this man's life. Listen to his testimony. Listen to Paul's testimony as he stands before King Agrippa. He said in Acts 26 and 10, which things I also did in Jerusalem, and many of the saints did I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priest, amen. And when they were put to death, I gave my voice against them. And I punished them oft in every synagogue and compelled them to blaspheme. And being exceedingly mad against them, I persecuted them even unto strange cities. The scripture said he made havoc. Amen. Which means he was out to destroy or break up Christianity. Entering every house is his testimony. Amen. Hailing men and women, committed them to prison. Make no difference whether it was male or female. Amen. They went to prison. Amen. Now we know, if you back up to the other chapter, that he witnessed the grace of God in Stephen's life. Amen, when he died. And we know that Stephen died calling upon God and asking that the sin be laid not to their charge. What Paul had witnessed, amen, stirred him up that a man could die, amen, for his own convictions, amen, which he had in Jesus Christ. Usually men recant. Usually men cry out. Amen. Saying, I'll change my mind or I'll do whatever you want. But not Stephen. Stephen died, amen, for his belief that he had in Jesus Christ, and he did not recant. And this stirred up Paul, or Saul at the time. Amen. And Acts 7:58 says the witnesses laid down their clothes at the young man's feet, whose name was Saul. Amen. But there were some things about Stephen that were very notable. One, he was loyal to his calling. Amen. Secondly, he was willing to actually die for it, what he believed. And the scripture says he saw something that the other men did not see. And that was what? Jesus, who was awaiting him. Amen. We know that Stephen followed the example of Jesus Christ. And Luke 23:34, Jesus prayed for forgiveness, and so did Stephen pray for forgiveness. Lastly, about Stephen, look at the end of his dedicated life. It was in peace, while his persecutors were in rage. He was at peace while they were mad, while they were stirred up, throwing stones, amen, and no doubt cursing and carrying on. He was at peace. Amen. And what happened? The scripture says he fell asleep. Amen. Well, with the persecution going on, there was a scattering of the church. And those who were scattered preached Christ wherever they went. Actually, it expanded and edified and built up the kingdom of God. The scripture says they went everywhere preaching the word of God. The church was scattered, but the apostles stood fast. Amen. Whatever peril was to come their way, they stood against. They were men of courage. Amen. And I've told this story before, but it goes right along with it. And there's a story I read of a young sailor, and he was being taught how to steer a sailing ship. And while he's learning to steer, a strong wind began to arise, and fear began to work Amen. And his amen and his courage and his the fear was overcoming him. But the older man told him, keep her face right into it. Stay right into the wind. Keep her facing it. That's exactly what the apostles did. They were going to face whatever danger threatened the church. They stood, amen, brave, and faced it. They were good men. They lived in such a way that men feared to lay their hands upon them. There was a man who once received a slanderous report, and his answer was that he would live in such a life that all men would know it was a lie. The Bible says this, that during this gathering of the church, Philip wound up in Samaria. Now, while he was there, he preached Christ to them. Amen. The church was beginning what? To reach out to others. Up until this time, the church was primarily Jewish. But you can see how God wanted the church to go worldwide. Amen. So how are they going to send them worldwide? Send persecution. Scatter them. Amen. Philip goes down to Samaria, and it was half Jew, half Gentile. Amen. And their different beliefs. God used him mightily. Amen. He was not one of the disciples, but God chose him as an instrument to set the city on fire with revival. Miracles took place. Unclean spirits were cast out. Healings took place. And you read the 8th verse says there was great joy in that city. But God wasn't through. The church was to reach out farther. How? By taking in an Ethiopian. The eunuch was considered one who feared God. One who no doubt was tired of the worship of many gods. And he would come to Jerusalem, the scripture says, to worship. He was not a proselyte, but they considered those individuals God-fearers. Tonight, I want to talk to us for just a while ahead of this revival we're going into on soul winning. Soul winning. Persecution did not slow up the church, but rather it propelled it. And it propelled it into the entire world. I see a great need myself of the church reaching out to the lost in a much greater way. This was not Pentecost, where there was an extreme amount of masses there, thousands and thousands of people. This is not the 3,000 being saved or 5,000, nor yet is it, amen, in a city. But rather it's one man, amen, on a road from Jerusalem, just south, the Bible says, of Gaza. God loves every soul. Ezekiel 18 and 4, what did the prophet say? Behold, all souls are mine. As the soul of the Father, so also the soul of the Son is mine. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. John 3:16, most everybody in here can quote that verse. It says, for God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. When I look sometimes at what foreign countries have to work with, then I compare it many times in my mind, I compare it to what we have. Sometimes a man wants to make me hang my head in shame to think of the work that they do in some of these foreign countries. we had so much, and instead of it giving us more time, seems like it hinders us, and we have less time. And I know we're in a different age of time, but we get up and we say it all the time. Jesus is the same. A lot of people get up and testify to that. In Hebrews 13 and 8, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. We say that, but do we actually believe that? There are people who come and go all the time. There are leaders who rise to great heights, but they still come and go. But Jesus remains the same. He's still the head of the church. He's still able to save to the uttermost. He has an unchangeable priesthood. Amen. What is he? He's permanent. We who follow him must be led by his leadership. We know that Jesus still is all-powerful. Amen. Before Pentecost, Jesus made a statement which came true. And you can, if you read the Acts of the Apostles, you see where this verse actually was fulfilled, amen, in the believers. Acts 1 and 8, you shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You shall be witnesses unto me, both Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. I want you to see that this power was going to come to each individual. Not only the apostles have it, we can read where the apostles had this power. Amen. But that same power comes to you and I. He uses the word ye shall, you shall. They would be witnesses, he's saying, Judea, Jerusalem, and the uttermost part of the earth. Now that word witness and the word martyr come from the same word, martyrs. What's that mean? They were to be loyal at all times. They were to be witness at all times, even their life, like their leader, Jesus Christ. In our scripture reading, we see that a brother goes from being the instrument of a great revival. Amen. A revival that broke out so much that there was joy in that city. Now, there couldn't have been joy in it before. Amen. With unclean spirits and devils and people. Amen. But as he went there and preached Christ, amen, unclean spirits were cast out. Amen. No doubt one's going to receive repentance. And the Bible says, there was joy in that city. Amen. But he goes from that great revival, amen, to one man in a desert. What's that show you? That shows you the love of God wherever he sees any honest heart whatsoever. He's going to get to that honest heart. Now, he didn't have the help of the other saints. He didn't go down and sing a song to them. He didn't have music. He didn't have a church building to bring him into. But he had God and his word. And that was all he needed. Why did God choose Philip? I've told you this before. There were others, no doubt. It wasn't just him in that city. No doubt he had other members of the church because they were scattered. He had other members in the church help him in that revival. But why did he choose, amen, the one who was the busiest? Amen. Philip's name is the one that's mentioned that did the preaching. Why take the preacher away? Couldn't somebody else went out to Gaza? Couldn't somebody else went down to the desert? Why take the preacher? There were others, but there were others probably not as busy as Philip. Why Philip? Well, he wasn't prejudiced, amen, on other religions and things. The church was beginning to reach out, and God was going to use one who had already been proven at Samaria. He also was a very busy man for the Lord. Do you know that God many times uses those who are already so busy they don't have time? You ever think about that? God uses those many times that are so busy they don't have time. But you know why he uses them? When God called Philip, what did it say? And he went. He didn't pray about it. He didn't, discuss it with God. He just went. Amen. Jesus said in Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Jesus seeks those who are seeking him. In the days of the apostles, they had no church buildings like we have today. Amen. It has been said, I don't know this for sure, but commentators said they didn't have any church buildings for the first 300 years. That's what I've read. Where did they meet? In homes. Let me give you some scriptures. Acts 2:44. Let's prove that. And all that believed were together and had all things common. So their possessions and goods imparted them to all men as every man had need. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God, having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church, amen, daily such as, amen, should be saved. Amen. Now, let's get another. 1 Corinthians 16:19. The churches of Asia salute you. Aquila and Priscilla salute you much in the Lord with the church that is in their house. Colossians 4:15. Salute the brethren which are in Laodicea, Nymphas, and the church which is in his house. Philemon 1:2. And to our beloved Apphias, Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in thy house. Let's get one more, Romans 16:5. Likewise, greet the church that is in their house. Salute my well-beloved Ephesus, who is the first fruits of Achaia unto Christ. In houses. But what a mighty work for God they did. Many times we invite ones out to service, and that's the last we hear of them. Between the time we invite them out to service, the devil goes to work. And the devil always gives them something to do, or something more important to do. Amen. And the conviction of getting in the house of God gets worn off. Well, there might come a time when we have to lead someone to Christ right where they are, if possible. Could you do that tonight? Could you actually lead somebody to Christ in a factory? In a restaurant? There might come a time when you might have to do that. Amen. Now, there was a woman that got saved at a well. Remember that? There was a jailer in his household that got saved. There was an Ethiopian in the desert. And yes, there's one's going to be like Agrippa who are almost persuaded. There are going to be ones like Felix who tremble but send you away. There will be ones who believe and ones who believe not. But that doesn't lessen our responsibility. There will be ones like the rich young ruler, amen, who went away sorrowful. But what does the Word of God say in Mark 16:15? He said, "Go ye into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned." God can help us if we seek his face and get the direction that's needed in soul winning. Proverbs 11:30. "The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise." I just read something, amen, and it has to do with abortion. Tim Tebow, you ever hear who Tim Tebow is? He was a Christian athlete, amen, played for the Denver Broncos, was a quarterback, and he got cut. Amen. But he speaks for pro-life. He speaks against, amen, having abortions. And he's quite a speaker. And I was just reading it, and it kind of thrilled me that somebody would actually stand up for what's right. And he made the statement, he'd much rather, amen, save a little baby than he would win the Super Bowl. That's quite a statement, especially to make that and the persecution that's going to come with it. Amen. And I thank God for ones like that that do stand up. Amen. Even though they're out in the world and don't have, amen, the salvation that you and I would know it, he seems to be walking what light he does have it. But there's a commission given to all mankind right in the beginning of the Bible. And I'm going to read it to you. These scriptures were coming to me as I was meditating on this line. And turn with me to Genesis, the first chapter. Genesis, the first chapter, verse 26 beginning. Genesis 1:26. God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. Somebody said, what's that got to do with soul winning? I'm not through. One more verse. "And God blessed them. And God said unto them, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, and subdue it. And have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, or every living thing that moveth upon the earth." Now I know these verses has reference to the physically, amen, physically bringing forth children to replace those who have passed on. But to me, it stood out and it could be applied spiritually also. Why? We have spiritual ones that's left our world. And we need to replenish those. I know it's talking about the physical. Amen. It's talking about marriage and having children and replenishing. Amen. But what's wrong with using it spiritually? What's wrong with using amen? Amen. We've had several saints of God, amen, that were, amen, we know them as spiritual, leave this congregation. They need to be replenished. We need to replenish and build up. It could be applied spiritually also. We've had a lot of spiritual giants leave this world who stood out in this congregation alone. Amen. Our mind could go back. We could name out several. Amen. That left this world, left maybe this congregation. Amen. It was to us spiritual giants. Replenish. We need to replenish the spirituality, the spiritual ones of the congregation. How? Amen. Get them in where they can hear the gospel. Amen. And also repent. Amen. And live for God. That will continue to happen if we work hard to replenish. Replenish the work of God and build up the kingdom of God. You know, there's nothing greater than working for the Lord. There's nothing greater than witnessing, talking to somebody. Now, I know there's times you get shut off. There's times when people say, I don't want to hear it. Amen. There's times, amen, when they'll just shut you down. But that doesn't mean we stop. Because there has to be people out there that want the gospel just as much as we do. How many times did we shut people down? How many times did we turn people off? And if they hadn't kept, amen, if they hadn't, the Spirit of God hadn't kept using them, we wouldn't probably be sitting here tonight. Although this commission was given to the apostles, I believe it's also for you and me. Go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Teach all nations. Amen. Soul winning. We need to replenish. Amen. Keep the kingdom of God built up. You know, I don't like to be a doomsayer. I like to be one who's encouraging people. But there's some Church of God that are struggling. I mean really struggling. Amen. And it troubles me. The Church of God is the one that's got the message. The Church of God is the apex of truth.
Amen.
And I'm not just saying here. I'm saying in many, many cases. But many are backing off from those things they know. Amen. And they're going into a kind of a gray area right now. Amen. And it's a hindrance to the church. But let you and I stand for what's right. Do what's right. Amen. And reach out to each and every soul we possibly can. We're going to be in 2 weeks revival. There's quite a few people sitting here tonight. Amen. Those of you that work in shops, write people out. More than likely, you're going to hear a lot of no's. I got work to do. I got to work overtime. Invite them anyhow. That's how I got out here. I got invited. I worked in a shop environment, and that's who invited me out. Somebody worked in there. That's how I got out to the Church of God. That's how I become acquainted with the Church of God. Now, there was a lot of things. There was a hindrance. I wasn't even going to come. Amen. I wasn't even going to go out. Amen. I kept putting it off. But he stayed with me. He kept inviting me out. And I told you what they told me. They would climb the walls. People come up to me and tell me all kinds of bad things against the church. And all he told me was, come out and see for yourself. See if that's true. When I come out, I found out it wasn't true. Amen. And I've been here ever since. There's people that's going to turn you down. But just don't, amen, make one invitation and shut it down. Stay with it. As the God and as the Lord direct. Remember now, the Spirit took Philip. You read that with the big S on it? The Spirit said, go join yourself to that chariot. Amen. Make sure that you've got the Spirit of God active in your life. Make sure the Spirit of God is where it needs to be in your life, and you're walking in all the light, amen, you've got. All the light you've received. Make sure of that. And then ask God to lead you. And then when you are led that way, you know that God led you to an individual. There's ones out there that you and I don't even know what they're going through. We see the outward man, but you don't know the trouble they even have. Maybe in their mind. Maybe they got marital problems. Maybe they got financial problems. Maybe they just got just plain messed up on drugs. Who knows? Amen. But God knows. And God can lead us and help us. And tonight, as we close, are you up to par for soul winning? If not, got 2 weeks coming up. I know we should do it all times, but right now we have a special services coming for 2 weeks. Let's work as we never worked before, church. Get people out and trust that God will say something to the minister, amen, it'll turn their mind the right direction toward Christ. Let us stand.